As you may have heard, a couple weeks ago with the high schoolers, we went to creation. So I've been thinking a lot about this theme of creation and what it means to have God as our creator. But, you know, we took the high schoolers because we figured, hey, this will be a great trip. If you're not familiar with creation, you may have heard me explain it before, but humor me. Again, it's a great 5-day experience of camping in the sun where you can just relax and be with teenagers, in this case, high schoolers, and open up, you know, opportunities. If you've been camping, you know that there's just something about camping where you have the opportunity to have certain kinds of conversations that you normally don't get to have. So you think, what a great time, 5 days camping, and it'll be just relaxing, looking forward to it, packing the sunscreen. This will be great because we're just relaxing in the sun with teenagers. The sun's going to be there. It's going to be awesome. And there's also, if you're not familiar, it's this big farm type area in Pennsylvania. There's not, now it's, you have to be careful because there's not a single tree in the whole place. It's like a field. So you have to be really, really careful about the sun because the sun can really beat down on you and can just take away everything because the sun, you have to be careful. So you want to bring your own canopy. Be very careful to bring your own canopy because you need some kind of shade because it's so sunny in this field that you're going to want to have shelter from the sun. And you go and you camp, and there's like a small area off in the, like a corner where they have like some speakers with like Christian music playing that you can go listen to if you want. So anyway, it's going to be great. There's going to be like camping, and this will be great with the teenagers, and this will be awesome. We get to go in the sun and we get to camp, and it's going to be a great week. Looking forward to it. Pack the sunscreen. SPF was like 70, something like that. This will be awesome because, I mean, oh, I don't mess around. It's going to be amazing because the sun this will be great. And so we went, we planned up, and I figured this is going to be a great trip. And I had, you know, several reasons for thinking this is going to be a great trip. And one of them was I trusted in my past experience going on this trip. I went when I was in high school, actually the summer after my freshman year of high school, our youth pastor took us to creation. And we went, and this is like, oh, man, it's like 13 years ago now and over. It's a long time ago. And this is like amazing. And they had this great time. And I figured, man, it's going to be just like it was, whatever, 13 years ago when I went as a teenager. And it will be, oh, this will be fantastic. Because I had this great experience in the past. And yeah, you know, I recognize some things are going to change, but basically it's going to be kind of the same kind of thing. This will be great. I have this past experience. I can trust in my past experience when I went that this time will also be a great time. I trusted in our itinerary. I have a minute by minute planned out tediously every little thing that we're going to do in right order and based on their kind of schedule. And we have our kind of schedule. If we get up at this time, we can do certain things. And doesn't take that long to walk down the place to get water and just come back. And this will be great. And we'll have all kinds of time and we'll have just energy. And here you go, you know, minute by minute itinerary. So planned out to the minute, to the detail of what we're going to do every day. So my past experience, I trust in that. We're going to have a good time. I trust in, you know, there's this great planning in the itinerary and things like that. I trusted in the gear that we took. We took all kinds of equipment. We have, you know, there's this trailer full of stuff like tents and canopies and, you know, blankets and, you know, sunscreen, all kinds of stuff we're going to take. Boy, we're going to have a great time because we have the right gear to make this, right equipment to make this camping trip worthwhile. This is going to be great. It's going to be, I know the sun's going to be out a lot, but I think we'll survive. I think we'll survive. So, my past experience, my minute by minute itinerary, all the equipment we had, all the planning that we had done, a couple of our parents helped us, man, plan like all this great stuff down. I figured, man, this great team of people that we can go and, boy, I'm just so excited. I'm so excited. It's going to be a great week. I might be a little sunburned when I get back, but it's going to be a great week. So we're there. We're setting up. We pull into a camp. We get our little spot that's marked off for us in the middle of this open field. And they have little flags to tell you where your thing is. And you're right up next to other people there. And you have this little plot of land. We're setting up our tent. And we're there. It's not, you know, this, you know, oh, man, it's a beautiful day. It is there. And it is like, oh, absolutely gorgeous weather. You pull in. It's like, oh, you're just outside. And you're setting stuff up. And, hey, guys, let's just take our time a little bit. Because this is such awesome, enjoyable weather. Yeah, let's not, you know, get in a huge, it's not worth fighting over where the, you know, tents are going to go. Let's just take our time. Let's plan it out. Let's just, you know, enjoy just being out here in God's creation with this awesome weather and this awesome sun that's out there. So we're there. We're setting things up. Just kind of taking our time, you know, just kind of enjoying just being there. And we're there. We got another 5 days. Boy, why rush things? So we're there. We're having a good time. I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, we're setting up. We had a tent up. We decided not to use it. We put a different one there instead. We're taking our time. It's a great day. So we're going there, and, you know, the wind, you know, it's a little hot. You know, it's a little sunny. You're starting to, you know, I'm not used to being, you know, outside quite, you know. So, you know, I was going there, and the wind starts to pick up, like, a little bit. Now, it feels actually really good. It actually feels like this kind of just cools things down a little bit. This is perfect. Nice, nice, steady breeze coming in from the west. And so we're there, and we're, you know, setting things up. And, you know, 5 minutes, I don't know, 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes after we're there, this guy with a golf cart, you know, he's official, he comes kind of driving by our camp. It's so quiet, it's so calm, it's so relaxing. And he comes by, and he says, guys, I think we're going to get some rain. And then he kind of speeds up. And like, man, what a downer, you know, that guy got a pack of sunscreen, you know, what's his problem? So, you know, I look over, though, over the, this nice mountain-type scene over there, and there's, like, this brownish-red cloud, like right there, where there was nothing, I don't know, 5 minutes before. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, we might get some rain, you know, but that's a long way away. I bet we can, if we just kind of hurry up, we'll be okay. Yeah, like 5 minutes later, that nice little gentle breeze turned into this, you know, kite flying type, you know, weather, and it got like really dark really quick, and we got a little wet. We got a lot wet. It was like the largest thunderstorm I think ever on recorded, you know, human history hit us right at that time, and we're hankering down these tents, and we're getting everything set, and it's like I look over. And I see, like, we have this, you know, giant canopy that we're gonna need to protect us from all the sun we're gonna have. And it, like, it lifts up off the ground and, like, tumbles over and hits, like, the campsite next to us. And I'm just there, like, watching this happen. Like, this is not happening right now. Like, this thing's, like, metal. This thing is heavy. Like, it took, like, 4 people to get this thing up. Like, there's no way. And I'm just watching that, and it went from this week of, you know, fun and relaxation in the sun to a week, well, I mean, you were around, you know, a couple weeks ago, of just rain every single day. And not just rain, not just like, oh, it's sprinkling, you know, no, like rain, like it's raining, like go, like head for cover, we're gonna die. Like it's that kind of rain. But I went from total confidence in our planet. I went from total just this belief and this confidence and man, that we're gonna, man, my past experience, my planning, all the gear and equipment we have, my trust and my confidence and all those things just went from, oh, it's hopeless and there's nothing we can do. Total confidence to just this total place of surrender to, you know what, if it's gonna rain, we're gonna get wet. And there's really nothing you can do about it. Have you ever trusted in something only to be let down? Have you ever trusted in something only to have your hopes and that object of your trust just completely disappear out from under you? Maybe you're like me. Maybe you went camping. And maybe you trust in, you know, your experience. You trust in your planning. You trust in the gear and equipment you have. And then it turns out those things that you thought you could trust in turn out to not really be things at all. And at the slightest little thunderstorm, all the things you trust in just completely disappear. Maybe you have trust in this kind of life path you have for yourself. Like maybe you think, okay, I'm gonna graduate from whatever school and I'm gonna, you know, just pick this certain career and I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna trust in the fact that if I work hard and be responsible, things will somehow work out. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like. If I just work hard, if I'm just a responsible person, if I just do what I'm supposed to do and I'm not an idiot, I don't make any mistakes, things will just kind of work out. Whatever that means. Have you ever trusted in that? Or maybe it's like your family, right? Maybe you trust in the fact that, you know, I have a family and things are just kind of, you know, maybe I want a family and this is just what people do, right? They grow up, they get older, they kind of settle down, they get a family. This is what normal people do. I can just trust in the fact that this, just normally speaking, this is what you do. And then maybe you find out that you're unable to have children. Or the thing that you trusted in, just the fact that your idea of just doing kind of whatever the life that everyone else is living, you can't really count on that anymore. And you can't have kids, and the adoption thing has taken whatever, all kinds of problems there, and there's complications, and this idea of this family that you thought you could have completely disappears. Or maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a relationship you have with someone, and you think things are going to work out great. You trust in their words, you trust in their promises, you trust in the things that that person says, or they do, but now she's gone. Or now he's gone. And that thing you thought you could trust in has completely disappeared. Has completely been taken away. Have you ever trusted in something only to be let down? I think as we kind of wander around in this, whatever this journey, you know, called life, as we kind of wander around here on this planet, we tend to trust in things that we can see, right? We tend to trust in the things that are apparent before us. We tend to, you know, trust in the things that we can see, that we can observe, that we can experience, the things that people say, the things that people do, the things that, you know, maybe our own efforts, maybe our own hard work, maybe our own planning, whatever that is. We tend to trust in these kinds of things. That's not a bad thing, right? Obviously, I'm not, you know, obviously we trust in things that we can see to a certain extent. I mean, we all have these kind of cultural conventions that, you know, I generally speaking, I trust in the fact that if I'm driving, you know, if I want to go somewhere, I can get in the car and I can drive on the right side of the road. And generally speaking, I just kind of trust in the fact that I'm going to be able to get to where I'm at safely because I just trust in the fact that every other driver on the road will drive on that left side of the road, right? That's just a thing that if I had to think about that every time, it would make life really, really hard. You talk to someone who's, you know, spent time in a different culture, and all these little decisions that we just take for granted, like driving on the right side of the road, they have to think about each little thing that they do. Do I take my shoes off? Do I leave them on? How many times do I say thank you? How many times do I say please? Do I even drive on the right or on the left side of the road? All these little things that we just come to accept as a part of daily life, those aren't bad. Those are just part of, you know, cultural conventions, social conventions that we have to get through. But the problem is we lose sight of who or what we really trust in ultimately. Yeah, we trust in certain things. We trust, generally speaking, when someone says something, we tend to trust in it. That's not wrong. You know, generally speaking, I can drive on the right side of the road and expect to get to where I'm going. That's not a bad source of trust. But ultimately, we need to understand that God alone is our creator, and therefore God alone is our king, and that we trust in him and him alone. God alone is our creator, and God alone is our king. And for the nation of Israel, it was really no different for them. We trust in the things that are around us. We trust in the things that we can see. We trust in things that we can experience. We trust in our own efforts, whatever. And Israel wasn't any different. Right? They had these things that they could see. They had these things that they could do. They had these problems before them, and there was just solutions that seemed to be obvious in facing these problems. The problem for them and the problem for us is the fact that we forget that God alone is our creator and God alone is our king. And if you turn with me to the very first chapter in this collection of writings that us Christians call the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to see how God reminds us that he alone is our creator and that he alone is our king. Genesis chapter 1, which is harder to find than you would think. You have to go through like the page of like deaths and the page of marriages, and then you get your title page and another title page and the copyright page and the table of contents, and then I have a list of books in alphabetical order, and then I have a preface, and then I have some more preface, and then I have some features, and then I have a blank page, and then I have Genesis chapter 1. Now remember, in the book of Genesis, what's going on here? Yes, the events that are recorded, or the events that the writer of Genesis, Moses, is talking about, are the events, this is the starting point, right? You can't get more, you know, you can't go back in time farther than the topic of the book of Genesis. But the book of Genesis itself, it wasn't written, you know, at the foundation of the world. You know, Genesis was not the actual book itself that we have today. This was not written, you know, right when God created stuff. Right. This was, you know, written much later again by Moses. So you have this situation where the Israelites, they're wandering around in this wilderness, right? They just went through this terrible experience this incredible experience in a lot of ways, but they were slaves in the nation of Egypt. And you have these Hebrew, you know, people making bricks, and they can never seem to make bricks good enough, and they're always being beat and stuff. So eventually God comes and says, hey, let's end this. Let's make our own nation. This will be awesome. So he raises up Moses. Moses confronts Pharaoh and they do all these plagues. These crazy stuff happens. And then they go to this, you know, this, Red Sea and you've got the army behind them and you've seen the movie, right? So they got this army behind them and they're going to the big river looking thing and it's this big sea and then got, you know, the thing just parts in front of them, right? And they walk through on this dry ground and then this is my favorite part of the movie where, you know, and then you have Pharaoh coming through and he's got his horse, of course, and he's going through and he's riding and he's like, I'm gonna get you, Moses. And then like the water comes and they all drown. And it's like, yeah, and they're all going, you know, and they continue, and then they're safe. Then they're free. They're no longer slaves at this point. Right, they've escaped, they've made it. Now they're their own nation. Right, this is awesome, right? This is great. Now we're our own nation. Before we went from all we knew how to do is make bricks, and now we're our own full-fledged nation. What in the world do we do now? How in the world do we survive? Because I don't think our brick-making skills, I don't know, I don't think they're going to get us too far. I've got this pillar thing that we're, you know, falling around, we've got these stone tablets, but beyond that, I don't know. It's going to be tough. So you have a lot of questions, right? Now you're this nation. All you've known is this Egyptian, you know, oppression and this Egyptian, you know, whatever's going on there and just the slave labor skills that you have. You have a lot of questions as you're wandering, following this guy Moses through the, you know, in the wilderness. And it's like, boy, you know, one of them is going to be, where in the world did we come from? Where in the world, why would God pick us, of all people, this slave, you know, nation held in captivity? Why would he take us and lead us through the wilderness to make his own nation, to make this own group of people? So Moses, he starts writing, right, through, you know, some kind of inspiration. He says, you know, let me tell you the story. Let me tell you the story of the nation of Israel. Let me tell you who we really are. Because all you've ever heard from these Egyptians is how, you know, terrible of a people you are, and they've given you every reason to think that all you'll ever amount to is this brick-making slaves. But let me tell you the real story. Let me tell you who's really in charge. Let me tell you your true identity. Let me tell you the real story that we're all part of. They've been feeding you, you know, these Egyptians have been feeding you these stories, you know, throughout the ages about, you know, how they're so much better than everyone else. Look, let me tell you who's really in control. Let me tell you who's really in charge. So Moses, he starts, fittingly enough, in the beginning. And what we find here in the book of Genesis, particularly the first verse, but really this opening chapter, are at least four declarations that God alone is our creator and God alone is our king. Four declarations. Really in this first verse, in this first chapter, that God alone is our creator and God alone is our king. This is going to be the foundation for everything else that's going to follow in the Bible, right? This is not just some kind of weird introduction. This is setting the stage for the rest of everything, right? So this is important. The first declaration that God gives, that he alone is the creator and that he alone is king, is that first phrase, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning. Seems like an innocuous phrase, right? It seems like a phrase that we'd say, oh, of course, if you're going to start a book, what better way to start than in the beginning? Well, this phrase, in the beginning, this would be used to refer to a king's reign. This would refer to, you know, the start of a king when he, you know, became king, when he took the throne. They would refer to this first part of his reign as king as his beginning. And a lot of times this wasn't even counted in the king's actual reign. Sometimes there was another king going on, sometimes things were happening. But this is kingship language that the author is using. This is the beginning. Other authors in the Bible will use this. Jeremiah 28:1 refers to Zedekiah's reign as his reign has a beginning. This is the beginning of his reign. Maybe like in the United States, we think about, you know, we talk about our presidents, right? When a new president is elected, you know, in November, it's not until like the end of January that person actually takes office. But we always refer to this person as the president, right? Or generally there's this kind of that convention where it's like, okay, or president-elect, you know, technically. But, you know, the person's not really president yet. The old person, you know, doesn't have any leverage to do any policies. We stop referring to them. You know, technically they're the president, but, you know, they're kind of old news at this point. We're looking at the new guy who just came in, and it's like, boy, you know, this is the president. This is the start of his administration, even though he's not really president yet. Even after he becomes president, after he's inaugurated, they'll count down like the 100 days, like the first 100 days that person does, and they'll compare it to other presidents to see, you know, boy, how much has this person accomplished in the first kind of 100 days. So in the United States, we might think of that as kind of the beginning, in the beginning. This is this kind of, you know, language of administration and kind of rule. But the other thing that the phrase in the beginning does, in addition to set the tone that this is our new king, or this is the real king, it sets the tone that's like, if there's a beginning, you're automatically thinking down the road of where there's going to be an end. you're already thinking of, okay, if a story starts off with a phrase, you know, once upon a time, you kind of have an idea of how that story is going to end later on, right? So if a story starts off once upon a time, generally speaking, we can expect the very last page of that book will be, you know, what? And they lived happily ever after, right? Because that's just how it works. That's, you know, you're thinking of these things, it's just this convention. Already with this very first, you know, word of Genesis, we're thinking about the end, and we're thinking about what's going to happen. So in Genesis, we have a tree, we have a garden, we have God walking with man. And in the very last chapter of the Bible, we have a garden, we have God walking with man, we have a tree, we have... You should read sometimes. Just read Genesis 1 and 2, and then turn to the very end and read Revelation, you know, 23 and 24. And it's like, wow, this is like, it's this nice ending. We get the impression that God, this is not just history. We're not just walking through the world with this, you know, oh, these are just events that just happened. This is just all just kind of random. It's like, no, there's a purpose to all this, right? There's a point to all this. We have a beginning. We have an end. God is somehow is writing some kind of story, and he's in control. And as the author, he alone is the creator, and he alone is the king. So in the beginning, that's the first declaration that God alone is creator and God alone is king. The second declaration, that God alone is creator and God alone is king, is the next word in the beginning, God. What a way to start a story, right? What a way to start a book. What's this book going to be about? God. You know, that kind of sums up. It doesn't start off with us. It doesn't start off with some kind of events. It doesn't start off with some kind of happenstance, circumstance, or, you know, something else. The author right away wants to point our attention to the true author of the story, the true subject, the topic that the Bible is about. If I want to ask you, you know, what's the Bible about? I know this is kind of a question, you know, Christians, you know, especially I think the longer you've been in church, I think the harder to just answer this question. You know, what's the Bible about? What's it about? Well, you know, Israel, kind of, and there's a lot of Israel stuff in here, and well, it's about God's promises, you know, Jesus, you know, did something on the cross and there's stuff. No, the Bible's about God. The Bible is a book about God, primarily. It's a lot more than that. You can go into a lot more detail, but primarily speaking, the Bible is about God. I think this is really hard to understand because for me, when I read the Bible, particularly like the New Testament, I really, really, really want it to be about me. I really, 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 as I read these words of Scripture and I see the way that the authors talk and the certain things that are, you know, I think, wow, this is a letter directly from God to me and me alone. And I think, man, this is great because why wouldn't it be? I mean, I'm like the center of my world anyway, so obviously I'm the center of God's world, and obviously, you know, this is, you know, I'm like the theme of the Bible. But no, this first verse of Genesis said, no, it's not about me and where I'm at, or even where we're at as humanity. It's about God. And it's about what God wants to do, and yes, humanity is involved in very important ways, and there's certain things that are inescapable because of that. But primarily the Bible is about God. It's not primarily, I think, a self-help kind of book that we can just read like some kind of manual. It's not a book about, you know, just, it's not strictly speaking a just history of events. No, this is a book about God. And the stuff that's historical, the actual history stuff, it points to, you know, one direction. It points to God. It points to the fact, yes, these events happen. Yes, these things happen. Yes, humans are involved. But at the end of the day, the theme is always God and what he is doing. Because God alone is creator. And God alone is king. And we don't want you to miss that. So right from that very first word in the, you know, the, whatever, the original, that's like the second word of the verse there. In the beginning, God. Second declaration. The third declaration that God alone is creator and God alone is king is the rest of that verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is, you know, it kind of rolls off the tongue, and if you've been around here a long time, it's like, oh yeah, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but think about what all that entails. Right? Think about what that means. Well, of course he's God. I mean, he just, you know, says stuff, or, you know, we think of that proverb, you know, snapping fingers, but, you know, he speaks in this, and, you know, the world's created, it's just what he does, right? Like, it's his job. Well, no big deal. You know, all in a, you know, whatever, 6 days work, you know, not a problem, right? I'm God. Pretty easy. Have you thought about everything that goes into, like, creating the world? Have you thought about everything that, like, goes into, like, the way, like, our existence is, like, put together and everything that entails? There's a lot of stuff. They say that, you know, we explore, like, the oceans and we go down and we can, you know, discover certain fish and things that live in the oceans. They say that we've only really discovered about 1% of everything that's in, like, our oceans. Because you just can't go down deep enough, and it's all dark down there anyway, and it's just really difficult. So you think, boy, there's gonna be this whole new world under there. And we would just never really know. You think, boy, and that's just the Earth, right? You think about, like, the universe. You think about stuff that we don't even understand. We can't even see beyond a certain point, and we're just making up stuff to be like, well, I think there's this black stuff over there, and I don't know. It's black, so it's gotta be like matter and stuff. So we have no idea. We're just looking up and we're just kind of making stuff up, and it's, you know, I trust in what they say, but it's like, wow, we know so little about the world. We know so little about what goes into this, and the stuff we can explain. That's all we do. It's all we can do is explain it. We can't even understand why it works the way it does. Like, oh, I understand, you know, we stay here because of, like, this stuff called gravity and, you know, it's this mass and it holds us down. No, that's amazing. Like, the fact that this object, like, actually, like, attracts us, you know, go flying off the earth, that's incredible. Right? This is like, yeah, we can kind of explain it, but don't think it's any less impressive. This is amazing, right? God created the heavens and the earth out of, like, nothing. Right? There's, like, nothing. And then God says, up, oh, now there's something. When I was little, I used to play with Legos. This is, you know, like 3 months ago. I have these Legos, and I would build these ships, and you know, eventually I would, you know, you have the directions, and you try to build the thing, you follow the directions, and you miss like a little part somewhere on step 14, and then by the time you get to step 36, your thing is like lopsided, and it's like, oh, forget it, you know. But yeah, there's big, but, you know, we all have stories, right? Every guy I've talked to has like somewhere in their house, or, you know, their parents' house, somewhere, because you never get rid of these things. It's this big tub of Legos, somewhere. And you have this big tub of Legos, and I remember we just, you know, dump them out on the floor, and it was nuts. We'd get up in the middle of the night and, you know, have to go to the hospital because we'd step on them, and it was nuts. But we have these big tub of Legos. So what I would do is I would make these, like, spaceships. And I used to get this Lego magazine, like Lego Maniac or something, whatever it's called. But this Lego magazine, and you could submit your Lego creations to the magazine. So if you get a picture of it, you can mail it in. And if it was, I don't know, good enough or whatever, if you knew the editor, you could get your picture in the Lego magazine as having this thing. So I'm like, oh, this will be awesome. I'll build this huge spaceship. This will be great. So I built this, you know, spaceship, and somewhere in my parents, one of their drawers or something, is a picture of, you know, 9-year-old me holding this Lego, you know, spaceship that I built that looks like a, I don't know, it looks weird, but it's this weird spaceship thing. And it's like, wow, it took me like, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, to make this like spaceship. It's like a full-time job, you know, making this spaceship thing. And boy, this is amazing. I created something that didn't exist before, right? Boy, I'm so proud. I'm a creator. All I really did, I didn't actually create anything. I assembled something. But I had to start with these pre-existing parts, right? I don't just poof and something's there. It's no, I have to take these pieces and put them together. I can't make something out of nothing, right? I don't care what you know, what kind of engineer you are. You can't make something out of nothing, right? You can make something, and it could be pretty cool, and it can be even, you might even call it new. And if you try really hard, it can be, you know, one, you know, you can get a patent and all this stuff. But you still have to start with something. You still have to start with some kind of materials, and even the ideas that we have about what is possible come from somewhere, come from the stuff that we've seen before. This is really, really impressive. Out of nothing, God creates the heavens and the earth. As ancient Christians would say, you know, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. That's a lot of things. That covers, you know, like everything. Everything that is seen and everything that is unseen. God alone is our creator, and therefore God alone is our king. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, the fourth declaration, this is the final one, that God alone is our creator and our king. The fourth declaration is actually, it's not in verse 1, but it's the rest of chapter 1. It's this following creation account. So stay with me. If you're, you know, if you keep score at home, if you're, you know, the Bible nerd like I am, you know the days of creation, right? You filled out the chart and you've got the pictures and you know, maybe even memorized it. But on day 1, God creates light. On day 2, he creates the sky and he creates seas. On day 3, he creates water, he creates land, he creates trees. On day 4, he creates the sun and the moon. On day 5, he creates birds and fish. On the 6th day, he creates animals and people. On the 7th day, he rested, right? So this is the days of, if you go through and, you know, you just want to chart down, you know, Genesis chapter 1, this is what you come up with. Well, now remember, if you're a Hebrew person now, you know, you're following Moses. You're not no longer under, you know, Egyptian bondage, but now you are your own nation, your own people. You're wandering around in the wilderness, and Moses is kind of telling you how it all started and who the God really is. You have a lot of preconceived ideas in your head based on your time in Egypt, right? Because the Egyptians, they had about, I don't give or take, 1,400 different gods that they would worship at any point in time. So each kind of local thing would have their own god. Each kind of, you know, place that you went to had their god. And then they had gods that were over the whole, you know, country. Gods of Upper Egypt, gods of Lower Egypt, gods of these different places. So they had about 1,400 different deities and different gods that they worshiped. So if you're an Egyptian, you know, yeah, you're probably going to pick up a lot of ideas just from being in Egypt about what, you know, the gods of the world really, you know, really are like. So, you know, to simplify things, you're going to have, well, at least three. You're going to have the Egyptian, you're going to have your sun god, your moon god, and your sea god. The sun god Ra, the moon god Khonsu, and the sea god Yam. I'm just saying that to impress you. And you're going to have these ideas, and you're like, boy, this is, I wonder if these are the true gods. I wonder if, you know, if these are powerful too. Because now, yeah. The God part of, you know, our God, Yahweh, part of the Red Sea, and now we're across it, and now this is great. Obviously, he's above everyone. But surely there's these other gods too, right? I mean, surely there's like, you know, there's a God of the sun. I mean, how else does the sun get up there? There's gotta be something responsible. And the moon, boy, there's gotta be, you know, and the sea and the water, these are pretty powerful forces. There's gotta be something there too. So I mean, yeah, you get these ideas, right? So, you know, if things aren't going so well with Yahweh, well, maybe I can just ask, you know, Ra if maybe he could do something different with the sun. Or, you know, maybe I could ask Yam if he could, you know, do something with the sea to make it better. And that's all I really need, you know, to trust in, because there's these different, there's all kinds of gods, right? Well, Genesis chapter 1, what the author is doing, what Moses is doing, is slowly dismantling these old Egyptian ideas that the Israelites had. So you take, for example, the sun god and the moon god of Egypt, right? You have this creation order. On day one, God creates light. Well, it's not till day four that the sun and the moon are created. Right? This is like not even like top three. This is like number four. You have the sun and the moon. And you know what? We don't even need them for light. Because light was created on day one. And not till day four do we have the actual objects of the sun and the moon. And you know what? As another just kind of way to rub out these Egyptian gods, we're not even going to mention the name sun and moon. We're going to call it greater light and lesser light. In case there's any confusion about who's really in charge here. In case you're tempted ever later to go back and bow down and worship the sun god and the moon god, let me just remind you they don't even really exist. You have the sea god, Yam, right? Well, you have on day two, God creates the seas, he calls them. It's weird that it's this plural form of the word seas, because you don't need plural of like, you don't need more than one seas, right? The word sea, it already refers to like a bunch of seas. But the problem is the sea god Yam, his name was singular. And when God says, you know, no, I created the seas, you say, no, this God that you think is responsible for like water, I'm not even going to mention him by name. He doesn't even really exist, unless there's any confusion. I'll just go ahead, I'll just say this whole different word altogether, this word for seas, just so there's no confusion. Just so we're clear. Because God alone is our creator, and God alone is our king. And that's just a small example, all throughout Genesis 1. Slowly and, you know, surely in every verse, God through Moses just dismantles any notion that there's anything else that could possibly compete with him as creator and as king. Because at the end of the day, it's not just about affirming God's role in our lives, right? I mean, we all worship, you know, God, right? Oh, we all believe in God. We all, right, obviously, you know, in God we trust. There's one God. And for these Egyptians, obviously, right, Yahweh got us out of this mess. Obviously, he's the real God. Obviously, there's a pillar of smoke and fire and these crazy things happening. Obviously, right? Yes, I believe in God, I worship God. Yeah, I can trust God. Sure. That's the easy part. The hard part is when things get difficult and when you don't see the pillar of fire and you don't see the pillar of smoke and you're looking at the things around you that you can see and you can trust in and you forget who's really in charge. Because trusting God means choosing not to trust in anything else. Because trusting God ultimately means choosing to not trust the other things around me that I can see, right? If I have a big test tomorrow, So if I'm, you know, if I'm a student and I'm, you know, whatever in school and I have a test, I can trust in several things if I want to do well on that test, right? I can trust in my study habits, in my ability to study, and I can really spend this evening and I'm just going to study hard because I'm trusting in my work that I'm going to put in to do well on this test, right? That's one thing I can trust in. I can trust in a good night's sleep to do well on a test. You know, instead of staying up and studying, actually I'm going to get to bed early because I believe what I really need is a good night's sleep, you know, to do well on the show. I can trust in that. Or I can trust in the fact that, you know what, I've already done all I can do. I've already studied as much as I can say. And you know what I really need? I just really need to take my mind off this test tomorrow and just maybe just go out with some friends and relax. But I can trust in those three things. I can trust my study habits. I can trust in a good night's sleep. I can trust in, you know, just distracting from the test so I can get a good night's sleep, you know, so I can hang out and relax. But I can't do all three at once. I have to choose one of them, right? Because if I choose, you know, to trust in my study habits, that means I'm not trusting in a good night's sleep, right? What I'm really acknowledging is all what I really need is just to study really, really hard. Or whatever. If I choose to say, you know, boy, I just really need to be distracted. You know, I just really need to just stop thinking about this because I've spent the last 2 weeks studying for this thing. I think I'm done. I just want to relax before the big test tomorrow. That means I'm choosing not to trust an extra night of studying for this test, right? We have to choose the things that we trust in, and God knows that we can't choose both Him and something else if we're truly going to trust in God. My question for us this morning is, what's the big test you're facing right now? What's the big test you have in your life where a situation presents itself and you have to make a choice? I can either go this way or I can go this way. I can either trust in this thing that I can see and experience and touch or whatever, or I can trust in God who's in control over all of my experiences, who's in control over everything I perceive, who's in control of even the thoughts I think in my head. What choice is that going to be? And what area of your life are you facing that choice right now? Because you have to make a choice. We all have to make a choice. We cannot serve God and something else. We cannot serve the God of Israel and the gods of Egypt. That is not possible. You cannot trust in God and money. You can't do it. You can't do it. We can choose to trust in the stuff of this world, or we can choose to trust in the one who took the stuff of this world, who created the stuff of this world, and breathed into it and created life out of essentially nothing. At the end of the day, at the end of our week, at the end of our lives, where's our trust going to be? What are we going to trust in? Because you cannot worship God and something else. We cannot trust in God and something else because God alone is our creator and God alone is our king. Let's pray. Father, we confess that you alone are the one true God and that there are no other gods beside you. But we also confess that we are tempted and we struggle every day to make that a reality for our lives. We get so caught up in the things that we see. We get so caught up in the things around us that we put our confidence in. We get so caught up in our experiences or our own willpower. And we forget about the one who's really in charge. We forget that you alone are creator. And you alone are our King. Father, I pray that you would help us remember that. I pray that you would cause us to trust in you. And we praise you that you've given us your Son. That through who, you know, through him and him alone, we can even have a relationship with you at all. Because there's no other name under heaven or earth by which we can be saved. Father, help us always remember that you alone are creator and that you alone are king. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.